broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome back. You're the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Paul McCartney was recently married to a young lady by the name of Nancy Shevel. She is the heir apparent, I think, to a large amount of money here in the United States. I believe it's trucking money, if I'm not mistaken. And we're going to be talking with Dr. Jim Sadler in just a moment about Paul McCartney and about his new wife and about what McCartney's life must have been like or must be like these days. One can only imagine losing the love of his life, Linda McCartney, the mother of his children, and then going through this divorce with this other individual whose name escapes me, and I don't really, Heather something, you know?
Yeah, but Heather, she had one leg, is all I know about it.
Yeah, okay, fine, bud. But the point is that, I think it was very interesting to watch that unfold, that divorce, the separation and divorce, because at the end of the day, this woman got no sympathy from anybody. And Paul McCartney, of course, was seen by fans and by onlookers and observers and those that follow these kinds of things as being the victim of someone who obviously was trying to get her hooks into him. So,
I don't understand that, man. You say she's trying to get her hooks into him. She had one leg, man.
What about it? So what if she had one leg?
Well, I mean, you know, if she had one leg, I mean, is it okay we talk about this?
Well, hold on. You know what? I'm going to do something.
Well, I just want to say something.
All right, hold on. I just want to do something. Rather than keep telling you guys to shut up, what I should have is a regular Bud and Robert debate. What do you guys think about that?
What do you mean a debate?
Yeah.
A debate. What you guys do anyway? You're always disagreeing with each other. I'll let you guys disagree with each other for a period of time. What do you think?
I don't know. I just want to be able to express my opinion without him saying everything that he says. Always trying to play the race card.
I'm playing a race card. You play the race card all the time because you don't like black people.
I don't say that, okay?
All right, that's boring. What you guys are talking about now is boring as hell. Why don't you talk about this Paul McCartney thing later? Not now, okay?
What Paul McCartney thing?
Yeah.
What you were just talking about, you idiot. You're talking about the what's her name? The one with the one leg?
Oh, yeah. Well, my opinion...
I don't want to hear your opinion right now. I'll listen to your opinion later. Right now, I want to get my guest on the phone. If you don't mind, his name is Dr. Jim Sadler. He's in San Diego. And right now, I think he's at Lindbergh Field or at the San Diego International Airport waiting for a late-night flight down to Dallas, Texas for a seminar. And we appreciate you being with us, Dr. Sadler. How are you doing this evening?
Really good, Phil, and thank you. And to all of your listeners, I received a great many wonderful cards and birthday wishes this past week.
Oh.
And so I'd like to say thank you to them, and I want to also express my appreciation for the good wishes for the recovery of my wife, Tammy, who broke her leg. We were doing some rock climbing in Arizona a month ago, and she, a poor girl, broke her leg.
Is she all right?
She's fine, Phil. She's on the mend. And I want to also thank your listeners for the very kind letters and cards that we got concerning that.
All right. Tonight I want to talk, Dr. Sadler, about the marriage of Paul McCartney, this most recent marriage. This would be Paul McCartney's third marriage, I think. I'm not really sure.
No, it's his third marriage. His first marriage was to Linda McCartney. He never married. And I think what you're probably referring to, or is probably confusing you, is Jane Asher.
And that's right. He never married Jane Asher.
He never married Jane Asher. She was the sister of Peter Asher, who was a famous singer and songwriter in his own right with a group called Peter and Gordon. And then he went on to become a producer. He produced Linda Ronstadt and James Taylor and some others.
Okay, so it was to Linda McCartney that Paul McCartney.
Peter Asher was not married.
No, I know that. That Paul McCartney.
Yeah, that is correct. Yes.
That Paul McCartney initially married and then married this Heather Graham.
I think her name was Heather Graham. Heather Graham's the actress. It was Heather.
Hold on for a minute. What'd you say, Dan? Heather Mills.
Heather Mills. I don't think it was Heather Mills. I think you're thinking of Haley Mills.
And no, I'm not thinking of Haley Mills. No, I think Dan's right. It was Heather Mills.
Well, all right, I'll take your word for that, but it's that's a tough one. That's a very difficult one to for me to accept. I for some reason the name Mills, but nonetheless, it's not important. The third wife is this one, Chevelle, and I made the joke at a conference I was at last week. I said that Paul McCartney married the young lady named Chevelle, and I said, is her middle name this? And I got a couple of laughs from the guys there, Jim Belmonte, who is one of the doctors. You understand what I said, Phil, right?
That her middle name is Dis, as in Nancy Dishevel?
That's right, yeah.
That's funny.
Well, it's a way to break up a lot of what at these conferences. You get tense, and as the week goes by, it goes on and on and on and on and on. And on and on and on and on and on and on and on, you know, and you get tenser and tenser and tenser as the week goes on, because these conferences are unending, and everyone's presenting a paper, and everyone wants to be published. And at the end of the conference, you know that most of what you listen to is unpublishable. You're not too impressed with what your colleagues have been able to come up with, and your paper, which you researched and which you have a great genius for, if I dare say, Phil. No one seems to care. No one seems to want to listen to you, and you go home very dispirited. And
okay, Doc, you're talking a lot about this conference. I want to talk about Paul McCartney.
That's what I'm getting to, Paul McCartney. I started out because I told the joke at the conference.
And you told a joke at the conference about what?
I said that I told the joke about Nancy Dishevel.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And so I got home and I decided I'd look into the Paul McCartney marriage a little bit deeper because of the name Disheveled. I didn't want anyone to think that I was, I was treating lightly the marriage of this man to this woman, Chevelle. So I looked into it, and I also looked into the dynamic of Paul McCartney and his relationship to the other members of the Beatles. I looked at the long-standing marriage he had with Linda. I looked at, and it was a very good marriage, and it was a fruitful marriage. They had children. I believe one of his daughter is a fashion designer. His son, I think, is involved in the music business. They loved their father very much, a very tight family.
And you could see that after Linda died. You could see how the family really pulled together.
Very, very, very tight family. Then comes this Heather, we'll call her Mills, if that's what your producer said. I doubt seriously if that's her last name, but...
I think it is, but nonetheless, you know...
Well, all right. I want to go on the record as saying I don't believe that that's... If she said that's her last name, I think she's lying. Anything she says, I don't believe. Did she say that's her last name?
I don't know. I mean, yes, she did. Probably she likes to go by the name McCartney now, you know.
But did she say her last name was Mills?
I guess so, Doc, yeah.
All right, then I don't think it is her last name, because I think the woman's a liar. And
well, are you saying she's some kind of an imposter? Are you saying she never did any of the things that she claims to have done?
What did she claim to do, step on a landmine? You know, because she's got the leg, you know.
That's not funny.
Well, all right. You know, Mr. Henry, I'm here on your program. I know you've got, guests. And I'm trying to lighten the mood and give you...
Just allow me to conduct the interview. I'll lighten the mood. I just need information from you. All right, so his second marriage, we all know how that went. And now here is the third marriage.
All right, well, and the third marriage, in my opinion, for Paul McCartney, is not a marriage out of love. I think Paul McCartney married for love when he married Linda. And I think that was the love of his life. I then think that he made another stab at being happy and being in love. And by being in love, not the same way that he was with Linda, because he would never have that again, and he knows that. But perhaps he could have love at this stage of life. Perhaps he could have love with a Heather as a new friend, as a new mate, and discover new things about life. And that didn't happen. We found out that that marriage, too, that marriage, unlike the marriage to Linda, that marriage was a went very, very wrong. So I think now Paul McCartney, with all of the money that he has made, and the one thing that no one's talked about, Paul McCartney is a survivor. Paul McCartney's the only one left. John Lennon, his partner and...
Well, Ringo Starr.
Ringo Starr, you're right. But when I say he's the only one left, he's the only one of the Beatles that is, you know, that
what, is a songwriter?
Well, that anyone really, I don't want to say cares about, but I think that if Ringo were to die, I don't think anybody really noticed as much as they do.
Well, I got to disagree with you there, Doc.
Can I finish what I'm saying?
Go ahead.
Wow. Boy.
Go ahead.
All right. I was going to say that if Ringo were to die, I don't think anyone would care.
Okay. Can I disagree now?
Yeah.
I totally disagree. Ringo Starr, in and of his own, in just his own personality alone, was very unique and very people like him. And from the very first time the Beatles, hit the international scene, Ringo was a colorful character and a colorful member of the group. To say that no one will care.
All right. Well, thank you, Phil, for ruining and ripping to shreds a premise that I have that leads up to what I want to say. Thank you for taking that and just ripping it to shreds in front of my very eyes. It's like watching a dog, a pet dog, being thrown off a cliff. And not even...
No, it's not that bad. I was disagreeing with you about Ringo Starr.
Well, it was part of what I was trying to say. If that's all right with you.
I apologize, all right? So Ringo Starr's not that important, and so therefore...
So therefore, Paul McCartney is the only one left of any creative import. Is that all right? Is that okay with you?
Were you talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. Is that okay if I say it that way?
Don't...
Is that okay with you? Does that meet with your approval?
Don't be a child, Doctor.
I'm not being a child, but I...
Just finish what you have to say. I got to go to a break.
Paul McCartney feels guilty because he has survived. He feels guilty because John Lennon is not here to enjoy the life that Paul McCartney's had. John Lennon is not here to enjoy the continued adulation of the fans. John Lennon is not here to absorb and to luxuriate in and to appreciate and to embrace the fans, the music, and the life that was entitled to him, that John Lennon earned, that John Lennon should have had, that John Lennon should have enjoyed. He didn't get to enjoy that. He was gunned down by a madman on the streets of New York. Paul McCartney got to have that life. I believe Paul McCartney has married a woman that he doesn't love, that probably can barely stand, that he can probably barely stand being in the same house with, because he wants to punish himself out of the guilt that John Lennon's still here. John Lennon is not here, and that Paul McCartney's not here either. That John Lennon's here and Paul McCartney got shot.
No, John Lennon...
I'm sorry. John Lennon got shot and Paul McCartney shot him.
Paul McCartney's still here.
Paul McCartney's still here, and John Lennon is not.
And so he married a woman that he can barely stand being...
Well, laugh it up. You asked my opinion. And
okay, we'll be back with more here from Dr. Jim Sadler. It's a very interesting premise. Paul McCartney, because he feels guilt that he's here and John Lennon isn't, that he had the life that John Lennon didn't get to have. Paul McCartney now knows that he can't marry for love. He tried that with Heather. That went south. The love of his life, Linda, is gone. So now he's married to torture himself. He's married to a woman that he can barely stand being in the same house with because he wants to suffer for... We'll be right back with more from Dr. Jim Sadler on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Boy, that's a stretch of the truth.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Dr. Jim Sadler, and we're talking about the recent betrothal of Paul McCartney to Nancy Shevel, his third marriage. And, of course, for those of us who are fans, I'm sorry if you're not a fan of the Beatles or Paul McCartney, and it's perfectly legitimate not to be. It probably, this kind of conversation probably bores you. But what we are talking about is, and it's a very unusual take, Doctor, you're saying that Paul McCartney got married not because he loved this girl, not because he wanted to be happy, but because he wanted to...
Oh, I just heard you yawn.
Yes, I did.
Oh, man.
Hey, Doc?
Well, what's the point, you know? I've been on a million... I've never had anybody yawn in the middle of an interview with me.
All right, I'm sorry if I yawned. I apologize. The problem is I... you know...
I'm boring?
You're not boring. But when you say to me that it sounds a little dull that a guy is going to marry a woman because he can't stand the sight of her, I just, for me, you know, I'm not buying that.
Well, if you don't have to buy it, but it sounds dull?
It sounds made up.
No, sir. What do you mean made up? I didn't marry her. Paul McCartney married her. Paul McCartney, who had the life that John Lennon didn't have, who had the joy and the continued accolades that John Lennon never got to see. Okay, the song that came out, it wasn't very good, but it was the John Lennon never got to see that. John Lennon never lived to see a lot of the things that Paul McCartney got to do and everything like that. And so Paul McCartney, after the beautiful marriage to Linda, I just think that Paul McCartney now has given up on ever having love and has decided the best thing he can do is to pay back John Lennon for all the years that he got to have that John Lennon didn't get to have.
And are you saying pay back John Lennon or more to the point, punish himself?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I think there certainly is... And I think you're right, Phil. I think there is a lot of self-punishment. I think Paul McCartney is saying, I've got to do something to make this right. If I can't bring John Lennon back from the dead, God knows I can't do that, then I need to put myself through some form of agony that only a rock star would understand. And what do you think that form of agony is? That's for a rock star. Do you know, Mr. Henry?
I couldn't begin. What form of agony unique to a rock star?
Unique to a rock star, yes, would be to willingly force yourself into a marriage with a woman who you can't stand the sight of for more than a few seconds without getting sick in the street. And
oh, come on, man. I mean, where do you get the indication that that's the case at all?
I'm speaking as a 25-year clinical psychologist. How they do things.
Well, you're the psychologist, sir.
Their behavior. I read that. And I read it, I read it like the back of my hand. I read it, there's a wonderful book called A Man and His Symbols by Carl Jung. And in it, we see the symbols. And Paul McCartney is using a very basic symbol of mother, only he's perverted it. Mother was Linda. Mother was Heather. But now mother is not Linda or Heather. Now mother is Nancy Shevel, and he can't stand to look at her for more than half a second without feeling his guts turn over.
How do you know that? How do you know that?
I'm basing it on 25 years of psychology.
That's not an answer, though, Doc. You know...
Please don't call me Doc, please. I understand, Mr. Henry, that it makes people feel comfortable. And maybe you... I don't know, you think you're Bugs Bunny or something? I don't know what you're doing.
I call doctors Doc because it is very casual. And yes, it makes people... Yes, it does make people comfortable.
Well, it makes me feel uncomfortable because I worked very hard to be called doctor. Do you remember when Barbara Boxer said... Please call me Senator.
Yeah. Okay, I get it, all right? So I'll call you Doctor. I apologize. Anything that I have to go through that freaking Barbara Boxer story again. All right, so we're talking here about about Paul McCartney. And
okay, see, John Lennon, you're thinking about John Lennon. And you wouldn't do that had I not brought up the fact that McCartney is now in agony. It gets us all to think about the guy that really, really got hosed, if you want to use the word, and that's John Lennon. Paul McCartney got all the goodies. John Lennon didn't get anything but shot. Now, Paul McCartney is married to a woman that he can't breathe the same air with without getting physically ill.
All right, we'll be back. We'll be back with Dr. Jim Sadler in a moment of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
You know what I'm saying, right?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and Phil Hendry Show's Phil TV in HD. And I mention that because we have on our Phil TV screen right now a picture of Paul McCartney with Nancy Shevel. They are together, Dr. Sadler, and he looks like he's thoroughly enjoying her company. And she's a beautiful woman. And more to the point, she comes from money, okay?
I understand that, Phil. You know.
All right, but just hear me out. So she doesn't. She knows what it's like to have bread. She doesn't seem like she's going to be sticking her mud hooks into this guy for his money. And in the photographs that I've seen with the two of them together, they both look very, very happy.
Well, first of all, Phil, I'm not talking about the money aspect. I'm talking about whether or not he is going to be happy with this woman. Now, she comes from trucking money. She's an American. First of all, she's not European, so that makes her very, very different from being a European. She's an American. American women, we all know what they like. They know what they want. They push their way to it and push their way to it until you really are challenged as a man. I'll give you an example, Phil. And I'm a psychologist. I'm married to a woman who is 30 years my junior. My wife, Tammy, is 23. That, in and of itself, presents a great many challenges. She's very young. She's very youthful. It's like having a little girl in the house sometimes rather than a wife. And I have told her repeatedly that we don't want to have the Halloween candy out this early because people can only resist that for so long. Now, this is a small thing, but just hear me out. This is an American woman I'm talking about, my wife. And I told her, I said, don't put the Halloween candy out this early. People can't resist it. And what did she do? She went ahead and I came home and there's Halloween candy. And my jaw hits the floor and I said, I told you, no Halloween candy. What we do in my home and what we do in our marriage, and Tammy has agreed to this, and I want you to be very, please hear me, Phil, are simulated acts of domestic discipline. And what that means is these are simulated. I never, ever physically connect with Tammy. I pretend as if I'm punching her, but I miss. I pretend as if I'm hitting her in the stomach. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I have never heard of anything so ridiculous in my entire life.
Well, Phil, before you go into your usual talk radio host judgment, if you don't mind, if you'll just listen to me.
Dr. Sadler, you know, I've had you on many times, and you've said to me, listen to me.
I'm asking you to listen to me this time, yes.
Okay, simulated beating is what you're talking about.
No, I didn't say that.
No, I know what you said, but what you mean is simulated beating.
No, I did not mean it. What I said and what I meant was simulated acts of domestic, what, now I forget, God, you know, there are times when I almost utter the Lord's name in vain. I get so frustrated with people. Simulated acts of domestic aggression.
And simulated acts of domestic aggression. So you pretend like you're slugging her?
Yes. It's something any stuntman in the movies knows. I pretend like I'm going to wail, like I'm wailing on just her face. Now, please hear me out, Phil, because this is very important. You never, ever, ever touch the woman. Never. But you act out. And in so doing, your wife understands just how important this was to you. By the same token, you get out the physical aggression of swinging your fists, and you never make contact with her. and you go about your business. For instance, when I said to her, I don't want the Halloween candy out until 2 days before Halloween, it's always been a Sadler rule. I had it with my first wife, I had it with my first two wives, and I had it with the woman that I lived with before I married Tammy. Now comes Tammy, and all of a sudden, she does what she wants to do? No. I said to her, the Halloween candy don't go out until 2 days before Halloween.
And by the way, doctor, for a man who's educated with some 8-9 years of higher education in college and postgraduate, she don't? I mean, your grammar...
I'm sorry, but I slipped up. I'm very tired. She doesn't put... I said to her, don't put that candy out until 2 days before Halloween. If you do, I'm going to have to engage in simulated acts of domestic aggression. She did. So I said to her, tonight, I'm going to beat your face in. And she said, have at it. And she's, making soup. And I'm swinging my fists like I'm punching her in the face, and I'm not connecting. Meanwhile, she's making soup and setting the table. You laughing?
Yes.
What's so funny, Phil? I'm a psychologist. Tell me.
What's so funny, Phil? I'm a psychologist. Tell me. She's making soup, and she's setting the table, and what are you doing?
Boy, you really strain your voice. She's making soup, and she's at the table. What are you doing? That's what you just sounded like, just then.
You want me to tell you what you sound like, Doc?
No.
Okay. She's making soup and setting the table, and what are you doing?
I am engaged in... I'm pretending like I'm beating her face in.
Are you swinging at her?
Yes. What? God, are you kidding with that question? What point would there be in not?
So I'm just going to, I want to imagine this. If you just forgive me for a moment here, Doc. And by the way, I'm sorry for the my audience. I've had that picture of John Paul McCartney and this lady Shovel. So she's setting the table, and you're throwing punches, and you're just throwing these punches... As I'm doing on, do you see the video cast? I don't know whether you're watching the video cast or not. Do you see what I was doing?
Yes, I saw you. Yes, that's exactly what we're doing.
While she's setting the table and making soup.
Yes, and she also, at one point, and I guess she'll find fault with this, but she needed to use the toilet, and I followed her in there while she was using the toilet.
So while she's sitting on the toilet, what were you doing?
I think I already told you, Mr. Hendry, I am simulating beating her face in for not doing what I told her to do. So I'm swinging and wailing away. You laugh if you want, but I mean, I beat her face in. And
no, you didn't. You never even touched her.
I never even touched... That's not the point. The point is, I was landing, in my mind, some very good punches. Do you understand? So, what? This is what I mean, Mr. Hendry, and this is why I was talking to you.
This is the weirdest thing I ever heard, Ben. I've never heard of simulated domestic aggression. And I've never heard of a guy pretending like he's swinging on a woman when he gets out of... And by the way, doctor, don't you think that there's a little something wrong with you?
Here we go. Are you going to play psychologist?
No, I'm asking. I'm asking you a question. You, is there anything wrong with you when you want to beat a woman's face in because she put the Halloween candy out too early?
No, there's nothing wrong. What do you mean? Is there anything wrong? It's not about the Halloween candy. It's about that I told her what to do, and she didn't do it.
You told her I didn't understand that.
Yeah, I'll bet you didn't. You want to hear my speech impediment?
No, I didn't understand what you said.
I said I told her what to do, and she didn't do it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to Charlie. Hi, Charlie. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
On your program to say, well, your guest here is talking about wailing on a woman fictitiously. I wonder if he's a fictitious psychologist.
No, sir, I can assure you that I'm not.
All right, very good. I am married to a woman for 41 years, and we have had our scrapes, believe me. And I don't think I have ever, certainly I know I've never beaten my wife, nor would I ever countenance anyone who beat their wives, nor would I countenance my son to physically strike either his sister or his current wife. So the idea that even if it is simulated, I find to be very destructive, Doctor.
Let me explain something.
Hold on. No, you've explained enough. Has anyone ever simulated beating you up? Do you ever allow your wife to simulate beating you up?
As a matter of fact, yes, I do, sir. Yes, I do.
You do?
Yes, I do.
And can you tell me, and could you tell Mr. Henry and the people that are listening, what have you allowed her to do? How does she beat you up?
I will tell you. My wife, Tammy, was so angry at me one night that she wanted to simulate taking a knife and doing, I think you know what I mean, and then throwing it in the garbage disposal.
Oh, boy.
Are you kidding?
No, you asked me a question. I'm giving you the answer.
And did you allow her to do this?
What's to allow? She's not putting a hand on me. She's not laying a hand. She's pretending like she's sawing it off, and then she goes and throws an invisible one.
You know, if anybody walked into your home while this stuff is going on, I think you'd be committed.
Well, Mr. Henry, fortunately, I'm the doctor. You're not. You're not going to commit me when I can say to the guy that's there with a butterfly net, hi, I'm the doctor. Why don't you go ahead and take Mr. Henry?
You know, this is absolutely ridiculous, and I agree with Phil. I don't know what good mental hygiene is, and I don't certainly presume to tell you your business. But you're telling Mr. Henry and me that you allowed your wife to pretend as if she was cutting off your penis.
That's correct, yes.
And then pretending she was holding it and pretended to throw it into a garbage disposal.
Yes, sir, that is correct.
That is the most ass... That's just the most ass thing I ever heard. Thank you very much, Mr. Henry.
What did he say? He said the most ass thing he ever heard?
That gentleman was, I think, in shock and was looking for the word to use and couldn't find it. Myself included, I think.
He's looking for your name?
No, I know how he... I know how the guy feels. So in his house, they don't commit real violence on each other. It's simulated because he's a psychologist and his wife simulated doing a bobbit on him and then taking the invisible one throwing it into the garbage disposal. Okay, we'll be back with more here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and also the Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman debate on Paul McCartney's new wife, Nancy Shevel. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL, and there's another picture on Phil TV and HD of the very happy McCartneys, Mr. and Mrs. His new wife is Nancy Shevel. You mentioned, Dr. Sadler, that she is from a Jewish family, raised Jewish. Her father is Myron Shevel. He is the chairman and CEO of New England Motor Freight Incorporated. Responsible for the overall strategic direction of the company. Why did you mention that she's Jewish?
Why did I mention that she's Jewish?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a very standard thing to say. It's very standard to mention if someone is Jewish. I don't understand your question.
You don't understand my question. Did you mention that she's Jewish the same way that we always mention if someone's Episcopalian? Or...
No, I didn't know. I mentioned that she's Jewish the same way that we would mention that someone is of, is Armenian or...
Armenian?
Well, it is an ethnicity, Mr. Henry, as well as a faith.
All right, fine. Do we mention, for instance, if Phil Henry were to be married, which I was, I didn't see in any of the announcements, and there were quite a few, that Mr. Henry, an Irish-American...
I don't get it.
You don't get it because I'm drawing a very... I wonder why it is we always have to bring up if someone's Jewish or not.
Well, I think it's given the history of our country and our culture, and given what... And you're going to think I'm anti-Semitic, and I'm not anti-Semitic, but given... We...
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
You don't want to say nothing about him or being Jewish. You want to say the Jews have caused a lot of problems.
Who is that? Who is that imbecile?
That was one of my staff members, that imbecile.
Well, no, I didn't want to say the Jews caused problems. But okay. I mean, the world went to war.
You know what, Dr. Sadler? You from the beginning, you'd had nothing to say that was of any value. The fact that he can't stand the sight of her. Is that because she's Jewish?
Shoe fits. You know, you're going to have to...
That's all I needed to hear, you know.
Well, why'd you hang up on him?
Because he's an idiot! What a jackass. And you know something? I swear to God, it happens all the time. Now, I read this notice in the New York Observer. I wouldn't know the New York Observer man from a roll of toilet paper. I don't. What is the New York Observer? Is that a online newspaper?
Yeah, I think so, man. Well, I don't know. It might be in print.
Well, they're the ones that bring up, she's from a Jewish family. Why is that important? Why is that important? We don't bring up that she comes from a family that's French. Okay, so let's get rid of the ethnicity. Let's talk about religion. All right. Do we bring up that someone's Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Methodist? Do we bring up they're Baptist? Do we bring up they're Catholic all the time? No, we do not. I can answer that question. No, we do not. So why is it important every damn time I see something having to do with the society pages? Maybe it's because they used to keep the Jews out of all the country clubs. Is that it?
What do you mean?
I mean in terms of society, as in country clubs, as in private clubs, as in neighborhoods, this kind of a thing. They used to lock Jews out of the clubs as much as they kept black people out. So maybe it's a holdover from those days when we see the announcement of the betrothal of someone. She comes from a Jewish family. What's that about, you know?
Well, maybe they're trying to say, hey, look, this is really good. Okay, he's marrying a Jew.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, it's really good, man. McCartney's marrying a Jew. No, I'll tell you what it is. It's as simple as the nose on your face, and yours too, bud. It's a holdover from the days when you wanted to make sure you kept track of all the Jews. That's what it is.
I don't know, man. I think you're being unfair.
No, I'm not being unfair. There's absolutely no reason for anybody to bring up the fact that that young woman comes from a Jewish family any more than anybody would bring up the fact that Phil Henry comes from a Irish-American family, or Bud, you come from a jackball family, or whatever. You know.
Don't let's talk about somebody being black.
No, they don't. They'll say someone's African-American, but they don't always say that, because it's obvious. By the way, she's black. Well, I see the picture of her.
Yeah, so you can't tell if someone's Jewish, so you gotta let them know.
Yeah, well, that's the point that I'm making, Bud. Why do we gotta keep tabs on the Jewish people? This woman, Shevel, she's Jewish, just want to let you know, just check off your little, I'm following the Jewish people list. Check, check. Another Jewish person, check, 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 check. You know. And that's not the only newspaper I saw it in, the New York Observer or whatever the hell you call it, that online newspaper. I saw it in a couple of other, articles. On Google, on the search engine Google. I don't know where else anything is. Here is her father. His name is Myron P. Shevel.
Well, that ought to be obvious. I'd say father's name is Myron.
What's obvious about that?
Only a Jewish guy's named Myron.
Well, come on, will you? That's like saying only black guys are named Herb.
Well, they are.
Yeah.
Okay. My dad's name was Herb, though.
Yeah, but that's back when when white people were called that.
Oh, okay. Thanks a lot, bud. Boy, what would I do without you, man? That was back when white people were called that. Great. Mr. Shevel served as executive vice president and chief operating officer of Eastern, a publicly held company located in New Jersey. So the family's from Jersey. He runs the New England Motor Freight Company. He is also the chairman of something called the Shevel Group of Companies. This is a family that's very well, their money is in a lot of places. They have real estate, they've got trucking, they have logistics companies, which include Carrier Logistics, Eastern Freightways, Phoenix Motor Express, Apex Transportation. So the family is very heavy into the trucking business. New England World Transport and a company called NEMF of Canada. So that's their thing. And this is born of the fascination that the father, Mr. Shevel, Mike Shevel had, or Myron, with trucking from the time he was 13 years of age. Now, his daughter, Nancy, is one of the executives with New England Motor Freight. I think she's a vice president. So, you know, what we've got here is a family that is in a particular industry, the trucking industry. They got all kinds of money, and they have all kinds of social standing, and so she's not at all impressed or otherwise put off or put on by his money, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, even if they got all kind of money, that's a trucking company, man. When's the last time is she going to go meet a rock star and stuff?
Dude, if you got enough money, it buys your way into anything. Don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. You got enough bread? She doesn't have to have met rock stars. She's probably met presidents. Gives a crap about rock stars. She's probably met Nobel Prize winners. She's probably met some of the most eminent people in all other walks of life. So, anyway, having said all that, good luck to them. Looks like a pretty good match to me. We're going to be right back. We have Robert and Bud. You guys ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
They're going to have their debate on Nancy Shevel or whatever else. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.